Welcome back, everyone, to the Cub Content Studio. We are on the Pull Tab Sports Network. We are the gambling guys, David, and we are at episode number 10. We hit double digits.
Double digits.
I thought they would kick us out of here at episode 2, but Sal said if we keep paying, they'll keep bringing us back. So write the check, David, write the check. That would be fantastic.
If you're listening for the 10th time, we think we've got a really good one ahead of you. If you're listening to the first time, stay tuned because this one's a good one.
Yeah, so on the agenda today, we have we want to talk craps. And craps is one of those games that's really fun to watch, really fun to play, but very, very intimidating when you're at the casino. I see lots of people when I'm playing craps look at me and go, what the hell is going on, right? And you'll see couples walk up in the casino, and they'll walk up, and our guest here is kind of laughing, too, because he plays a lot of craps. So we have a guest with us today. We're going to do 5 questions. We're going to talk about Vegas because turns out you and I will be there in a little while.
And Dieter.
And Dieter as well. But you're introducing Dieter, no one knows who he is right now.
This is only our 10th, not our first.
Yeah.
Definitely not our 100th.
So I'm going to turn it over to you, David, because you and Dieter have been friends, and I believe he nicknamed you David Casino.
Well, I think that's a perfect transition. So yeah. I am David Casino. Welcome back. Good to be here. And I'm next to a good buddy that I met probably 20 years ago, Dieter. We're happy and just thrilled you're here.
We are.
Thrilled to be here, guys. Thank you.
And you were going to be on a plane. We got 3/4 of a Vegas trip right here. TJ was coming in from Arizona on a golf trip, so he couldn't fly it in real quick, so he's hopping on with us. So we are, like, super jazzed you're here, but also jazzed for the next 4 days.
Oh, for sure. Vegas.
Can't so wait. You're one of our few listeners, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. I'm part of the DGen family of gamblers.
Yes.
I know we're probably not supposed to say that.
We're all cousins.
That's actually how I met David over here.
Okay.
It's a great story if we want to get right into that.
We do. We do. How did you meet David, and where, when, how?
It was on a mutual friend turned 40, and okay. He got a call from a mutual friend saying okay. He was in a limo on the way to a casino. Will I join him?
Huh? Well,
I said, I'll be there in an hour. Got in my car, drove up there, and I
met. We were at Hinckley, right?
In Hinckley.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So your 40th birthday was.
Not mine, actually.
Not yours. Mine. Mutual it was friend. Okay.
TJ that we're talking about. So oh. I had arranged, they came over for dinner, and I had a limo outside, and they knocked on the door, and I said, Tim, can you grab that for me? He's like, what? Like, answer your own door? There was a guy in a black suit and a, you know, black coat or whatever.
Yeah.
December, right?
After Christmas.
End of December, so yeah. It's cold out. And Tim's like, what's going on? I'm like, we're going to take the kids out for a little bit, play around, and then we're headed up to the casino. Little did I know, he called a buddy that I didn't know and said, please join us. And what did we meet in the limo, like in the valet parking? You like popped in, didn't you?
Yeah, you guys were in the limo, sipping on a beverage.
Water.
I found you. There was one limo in the parking lot.
It was actually Stoli's, which we'll get to. Yeah, there was only one. There's only one limo, and it wasn't very long, if I remember correctly.
No, piled in and joined you guys, and then we went inside. And
so TJ introduced us. We had a great night. I put him in my phone as Dieter,
right.
And I didn't know if that was a nickname or a full name. I didn't even know your last name until 2 years ago, but similar, that's how. Go ahead, further on that.
Right, that's how I named David. As I left that evening, I started punching in his name into my phone, realized I had 4 Davids.
Yeah.
So I just decided to give his last name Casino.
David Casino.
And it was born.
That was solid. That is a great story.
So when we were talking about the genesis of this podcast, I was like, well, obviously I'm David Casino. And then I'm like, I better text Dieter and make sure it's okay. Like, he's got any royalties on that thing.
No, not making anything so far.
The question is he still in your phone as David Casino?
In fact, that's another good story. He was sitting on the table with my boys at, I don't know if it was dinner or where we were at, but
yeah.
I got a text from David,
yeah.
And my son looked at my phone and said, Dad, you have a friend whose last name is Casino? And I said, yes, I do.
Oh, that's fit. The funny thing that I find with that story is you ordered the limo. It was a surprise for Tim, but he had to bring along a friend.
Yeah, he had to bring along a friend.
Because he was bored with you.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll ask him something. We'll ask him tomorrow morning in the airport.
I think Sal has a question. Sal, I'll just ask the question for you. Were you wearing the white pants?
That is a legitimate question.
I don't remember.
I don't think they go off too well in December with snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah. You can't wear white after Labor Day.
Yeah, I brought those suckers down to Mystic Lake. We had some luck with those. All right, we're here with Dieter. We're just thrilled to get to know you a little bit more. You're here to talk about craps, but before we do, why don't we do the five questions? So those people that are listening can understand, because there might be a question or two in here about craps or why he's here for us.
Well, that's, I was going to say, you know, it's there's some questions I can think of that we could have asked, but the five questions that you and I answered for our 100 apiece are good ones as well. Let's take a quick moment, though, because when we did the intro, I did not talk about Cub and how fond I am of Cub Foods and the Cub product. So Cub Foods, folks, good sponsor of ours, been around for a long time, founded here in Stillwater, Minnesota. They have, I don't know how many locations. I should probably know that, and I will, but multiple locations around the Twin Cities, dozens and dozens, I believe. And we use Cub for everything all day for groceries. You can get them to deliver. You can stop by and order online and have them bring it out to your car. There are wine and spirits locations at most of the Cubs, and you can find everything from Stoli Vodka to THC drinks, David. So I recommend and encourage you to go to Cub. Great produce section, great meat, and great things all grocery. So thank you, Cub, for your sponsorship, and we appreciate it.
Nicely done, as always.
Thank you.
Okay, are we still $100? Each, okay.
You sound like you're trying to bait me into something.
Confirm, and believe me, when Dieter and I were driving to pick you up, I said, "Oh, there's one question." He goes, "Nope, don't say anything." So he's an honest man too.
How confident are you that you're going to do pretty well today?
I'm confident I'll win three. I'll win the majority. Okay, so we got five questions.
Okay, here we go.
Question number one: drink of choice, your choice of alcohol, wine, beer, seltzer, spirit, or other. When you, alcohol of choice, drink.
Spirit.
Yeah.
Is that you?
That's me. Do you want to confirm that or not? You good?
I'm good. I don't even want to.
And what would you drink if you your drink of choice?
Whiskey neat.
That's
whiskey
right.
Whiskey neat. Do you have a favorite whiskey?
Any scotch will do.
Any scotch. Do you like the Irish whiskeys?
Irish, anything good.
Red breast.
Red breast, solid.
Sounds like anything wet.
Anything.
Yellow Macallan. Spot. Okay.
I do remember that because when we were last time we were there with Juice and TJ, you were having that neat, and I think you had about eight of them in a row that day, right? And it was like
must have been a good day.
Must have been that was I remember that day. So favorite guy is up $100 on episode 10. David Casino, the guy who named him, is here, so we better win. When you walk into the casino, what's your favorite game to play?
Craps.
Yeah, and that's why he's here. That one I kind of cheated at because I put it as number two and I got to say it first. So
the title of the freaking podcast today is Craps. So and we bring in the craps expert and you ask him what his favorite casino. Of course I'm going to lose.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Shit, Cheryl.
What age did you first gamble?
Well, that's a good question. I actually started gambling between 12 and 14. Playing backgammon for money.
Are you kidding me?
3 for 3 over here.
What the? Oh,
it was probably middle school, so it's in that range.
So the good news is Prop Bet Pete put 15, so you can pick 12, 13, or 14.
So you went under.
No one's ever been swept in this game, and I am on my way.
Hey,
to
you went
maybe
4 for 4 with the Trevor that I invited. Yeah. By the way, is the chair over there after Big T sat in that?
I feel like it's sitting a little low today, but that's all right.
Yeah, the springs are being a little bit stressed.
Imagine what his bike seat feels like.
Oh, God, that was so funny to see. He does some biking.
So, Sal, and for our listeners, Dieter and Big T know each other and have played a couple rounds. Remember, we come out to your place and play?
Yep. Big T is quite the ball striker.
Are you at St. Cloud Country Club?
Territory.
Okay.
Well, I think it was Sam or one of your sons, right? I shouldn't have said their name, right? But I think they're fine, right? Okay, good. When I brought up he's like, "Oh, David Casino brings the hippo to a scramble golf tournament."
It's probably Tanner.
That's fantastic.
I loved it. T loved it as well.
That's fantastic.
Let's get back to the what we call as the sweep in the five question game here. You like
sweep?
That?
Yeah, I'm reeling from the first three.
This is another under over number. Most roles you've had, not that you've witnessed at craps, that you've done in
like consecutive rolls.
Yep.
They give you the dice.
Okay. You know, they now have counters at some of the casinos, so they can count them. But previously, those you couldn't find too many, so it's kind of a guesstimate. But
yeah, that's fine.
We'll go with first and final.
Yeah.
I'm going to say about 50.
No way.
So I said 44 because I couldn't remember if it was 46 or 48. Oh God, I thought you had told me at the Golden Nugget. So,
possibly. Wow, that's a lot.
I went under.
Yeah. I might have rounded up a little bit,
you
guys.
You literally have been around. Well, let's just say it's even 40. You've rolled 40 times with the dice. A
couple times.
When we were at the Golden Nugget, when we went on the roll, the four of us, I think you were pretty close up to close to 40 because the all small and talls were close.
Yep. It was a 40-minute roll for sure. So
yeah. Were you guys playing the dark side at the time? Or you were playing points. You were spetting with the shooter?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. That had to make you some money.
Yeah, that night it was pretty good.
Okay.
And we'll get into that story after because we were playing the same way and the other two guys were playing the other way. And
wow, so you just kept hitting sevens on the come out and points. And then
I think you only maybe did. I don't think I saw a seven until the end.
It was a long drought of sevens, which is rare.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell this story.
But every
this
camera
was
in the
one
place
of my
was on you.
Favorite spots of craps because I think we're at the Nugget, weren't we?
Yeah.
Low ceilings, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
It's not like a big Vegas. Busy. And they were. So Dieter loves to hit sixes and eights all day, and he might have put a word in before that. I can hit and eights all night long. And we were getting a lot of people that were making money. Yeah. Even that guy went on a quick roll, I think, before yours, right? And he was only betting the past. Anyways, the energy there was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, anybody who rolls for 50 times, I mean, I got to imagine that if the table's full, there's got to be some excited people around.
It was ramped up. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Did anybody pitch you some chips at the end?
I don't think there, but that's happened before.
Yeah, Golden Nugget, they probably didn't. There's a lot of
nickel dimers.
Yeah, and hardcore guys that have been gristled over the years and are angry with life.
True.
Yeah. So
that's why we're here, because Dieter's got a lot of experience with craps, but I know the long anticipated, this could be 5 for 5 if we get this one.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
you're
going
to win
this
one.
It's not we.
So. Yeah, we. The ones
what are the most
about?
Hands in blackjack that you've won in a row?
Once again, that's a tough one to quantify. I'm trying to remember. It's definitely double digits, so I'm going to say 11 or 12.
Jesus.
In a row.
I put 8. Or
we have
Pete went 8
we
and I went over.
We have our first sweep on the board.
$500 American.
Yeah. Wow. Oof. I just lost every single one of those.
Oh, you got pride and you've got looks.
You got a great shirt.
My God, what a painful experience that was. Okay, well, thanks for coming to the podcast. This was a lot of fun.
Okay. So a lot of people.
I guess we know who's paying for studio time now.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it.
In cash tonight, my friend.
Keep asking us back because Pete keeps losing money.
So one of the most favorite times was that. A lot of times when we're together, we'll play. And we'll play regular or we'll play dark side, my own words. But maybe walk us through, if you're playing just a regular, what most people do playing the pass line and kind of help people. We'll ask some questions.
Sure. excuse me. The pass line, probably 95% of the players play, maybe more than that, more like 99.
Yeah.
So you're just putting your initial bet out on the pass line, and basically a 7 pays. So you want the 7 to come in initially. So on the first roll, say a 6 comes out, the puck goes to the 6. That's the point that now has to come up for you to win that wager. So now you don't want the 7 to come up on roll 2. So what you can do now is you can put a back bet of odds. They call it an odds bet. You can lay odds on your back bet up to 3, 4, 5. Some casinos go 10 times your initial bet.
So for our listeners, are craps tables like blackjack 5, 10, 25 on table minimum?
Yeah, minimums, boy, at times now in Vegas, it's hard to even find a $15 table.
Exactly.
They almost start at $25 now.
That's that strip around the whole edge, right?
Says it'll pass pass line all around the edge. So you start there initially with your initial wager. Let's just say it's 25.
Let's say you're playing at 25. What would be your bankroll? Like, is it 10 times, 20 times the kind of first initial unit to play 20, a good?
25 can go pretty quick.
Yep.
Minimum of 500.
Okay.
So usually,
as we talked in blackjack for people, usually like two, if you're playing 25, you can maybe cash in for 300.
Yeah, maybe so you could go with three.
Craps is a little bit more, and you'll get into why here in a second, right, Peter?
So,
right.
So I'm a first-time player. I walk up, and I'm intimidated with the craps table because there's all these numbers everywhere. There's bets, there's hardways, there's the C and E, there's yos, there's, like, you hear a lot of things when you walk up and watch a craps table.
Right.
And it's very glorified and when you watch it on movies or TV. But it's a simple game if you want to bet simply, right?
I would say start simple. So start with just that pass line and back it up. You could even go one times odds. So you could start with 25, put a back bet of 25.
And don't they say that right there is the best odds in all of gambling?
That or the other side, that or the don't pass.
So you're literally taking, by not taking the odds, right? How am I trying to say that, right?
Well, the odds, when you put that back bet, the casino pays true odds based on the dice, the amount of rolls per dice. There's 36 rolls, there's 6-7 combinations, there's 5-6-8 combinations, 4 down the line.
So they pay true on
They pay true. So they'll pay 6-5 on a 6 or 8. They'll pay 7 or 3-2 on the 5 and 9, and they'll pay 2-1 on the 4 and 10.
Okay. So if you back it up with, you're just, let's just say 1 times.
Yeah. So you're just going 1 times odds. It's just simple because you already have $50 up now. And now you're just waiting for that number that came up, the 6 that we talked about, and you'll win. You'll win 6-5 on that back bet, and then you'll win even money on the front bet, the 25.
So people who don't play craps, when you talk about the pass line, when you walk up to a craps table, there's this big oval, right?
Right.
And around, you've got the area where the dealers are you with the chip count.
Yes.
But everything around there, there's a pass line that runs around the perimeter, right?
Right.
And that's what you're talking about. When you walk up and you see someone, they hand them the dice and they say they're coming out. That means they're establishing a point.
Exactly.
Right? And so by establishing a point, they are trying to roll something other than, they're trying to roll a 7 actually coming out. Or if something in the, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, basically 4-10 is right. What they're trying to roll, right?
Right.
They roll a 1 or 2 or an 11 or 12. Well, 11 still pays, right? 7 or 11 pays on the come out.
Yes.
Okay. But it's a simple bet. You place the bet, then the roller rolls, and you're betting. If you bet on the pass line, you're betting with that shooter, correct? You want them to hit the numbers.
You want that number to come up.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So if that puck flips over and I think it's now white on a number 6, right?
Yes.
So if I'm walking up and I see that say on 6, can I put a pass line bet?
No. Once the puck is up and on, you can't put a pass line bet. You can put any other number bet on, but you want to check the dice and see if the dice aren't in the roller's hands. And as he's getting ready to roll, you don't want to throw your money out on the table and say, give me the 6. So it's kind of a courtesy.
Do you step in, and I want you to go further in a second here, but do you step in off point or before it's established? Do you wait when you're going to start playing?
I usually wait till a point is hit so everything gets reset. And then you put your money out right on the come line.
Yep.
So if you're starting with $500, you drop it on the come line. And the dealer will take it and cash in your cash.
That's an awesome chip right there, yeah.
Go right to the come line. A lot of people will drop it straight down, or they'll try to hand it to them. So you put it on the come line, and then they'll take it.
So you're not waiting for the shooter to change. You're just waiting for the number to hit the point to come off.
Right. I'm waiting for that point to come up.
Got it. Great. So when you're out there and the 6 comes out, now what do you do?
I like to get a couple more numbers up. So if you want to start small, you can wait till either that 6 comes, which will pay you. If the 7 comes, you'll lose. So if you want to go simple, you already have $50 out there. Just play that 50, see which comes up first, the 6 or the 7. It's just a simple way to start for all the beginners.
Right.
But I'll be honest, it gets a little boring. I like to have a little more action, so I'll...
You are on the Gambling Guys podcast, and you introduced yourself as the family of the degenerates.
So I like to get a minimum of 3 numbers out.
I'm with some action.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so I want a few more numbers.
And there are multiple ways to bet on other numbers.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So once that line, once that number or that point is established and the white puck goes on that number, let's say it's a 6, that's the number that your pass line bet is on at that point.
Yes.
You can never pull that back. It has to stay there until either a 6 or a 7 is rolled.
Correct? Exactly. It's kind of a contract. It's there.
Okay.
For our listeners, what percentage of people just play that, do you think?
just the simple pass line.
Yeah.
With no other numbers.
Yep.
You see a few.
Yeah. I mean, I just think for if you're a beginner and you're listening to this podcast, like rewind and listen. Like that's a perfect thing if you want to get in, right? Sit it at 25. Exactly. You can put one on times odds and 50, or you can go all full odds on it and just wait for that six or whatever point or seven, right?
Well, if I'm down to $100, you know, maybe I'll put $100 on the pass line with no back odds and just wait for the point to come in and win that $100.
Get some ammo to keep going.
Now, let's say you just sat down. Sorry, bud.
And then one of the things that we should point out too is those dealers are there to help.
Absolutely.
Like they will help you, and they'll help you if you walk up and put your money down and you say, hey, first time player, they'll even walk you through the best odds or some of the best odds to bet. That's been my experience. I'm sure it's been you guys' experience as well, right?
Usually you just have to ask.
Yeah.
They're not going to offer, but you can ask, and usually most of them are very friendly.
Yeah.
Because just like our for tips. Last episode on PyGow, when Sal just said, ask the dealer, do you think we should try that on blackjack?
When
they show an ace and we got 11 and double down, what would I do?
Well, a lot of people do, actually.
So I just found a statistic online, guys.
Okay, give it to us.
Going back to the roll. Rolls per hour in craps based on number of players. Let's just say five players. Average per hour is 144 rolls. For five players. 11 players, 102 rolls per hour.
Wow.
So your 50 rolls is astonishing.
It is astonishing.
Well, like you said, it's 40 minutes or 50 minutes or right around there, maybe. Yeah. Sal, is kind of what you're saying, depending on how
fast.
At least
a half hour.
So you were rolling for a half hour.
Oh,
longer.
Oh, longer. Like, because you would hit 8 and that would pay, and then you'd hit 4 and like in and I we want to get into it. You're a controlled shooter.
I
or
do.
Or how do you? What do you? What would you call yourself?
It depends on if I'm going to play dark side. I like to throw the dice as hard off the wall as possible.
Do you still frame them up and get set, or do you just grab them and go?
Not if I'm playing opposite. But
you
if
just
I
grab
if,
and go.
If
and
I'm
go.
Just playing normal, I do like to set my dice to a certain combination.
Okay.
And then I like a really soft toss. Both dice are supposed to hit the back wall.
Yep.
Vegas is a little lenient. If one hits or if both are short, they'll let it go. Next time they'll warn you, but they're pretty lenient. Other casinos around in Wisconsin, other areas, they'll go no roll. If both dice don't hit the back wall, it's a no roll.
What if I throw the dice and it hits a couple of chips on the pass line and then hits the back and comes? What happens?
Nothing.
But what happens if I do the and hits a bunch of chips and knocked it down?
They just restack them.
So I think just I was nervous at that a few years ago.
Knocking down chips.
Like people's hands and where to throw and knocking chips. Like if there's a full table, and how much is a full table? 14?
That's a 16? Good question.
11, I think.
I think maybe Sal will give us that. Yeah, but there's a lot of hands.
I think it's 11.
And there's a lot of, you just said that. Good point, Sal. There's a lot of chips there too, right?
Right.
But why they have the chips up top if you're not playing with your chips, like your bank, right?
Yeah. They're in your tray.
Well,
the dealers are very good about, I mean, they all are assigned certain areas of the table and they know what the bets are.
And you know what your bet is. Yeah. You know that you had X amount on that number.
Well, hopefully you do. It depends on your state of mind.
That's true.
Especially when you're pressing. Right?
You're up there. You're going to bet 25. You're backing it up with odds kind of behind it. You actually set a chip behind it.
Behind it when you're playing the pass line.
Six is the point. Now, what would you typically do?
I would put... I'd put $30 on the 8, and I'd probably grab the 5 and 9 for 25. So I'd have 110 out there.
So your strategy is you're going to roll the more frequently rolled percentage combinations.
Sure.
5, 6, 8, 9.
Right.
Stay away from that 7.
Yep.
Got it.
Try to get a little mojo. Try to win some points so you get some of your money coming back. And then... usually I go 2 or 3 wins, and then I'll try to start pressing my bets, or I'll add the 4 and the 10 with my winnings.
Press
the
next win. Double up?
Double up. When you say press, you can double up any amount, really. You know, a parlay is you double up all your winnings. So whatever you won, a parlay goes, everything goes right on top.
Oh, so if you won some in different spots or whatever, parlay right on top?
If you say parlay, all your winnings go right back on top for the next bet. So that's the difference. If you say press, you can press 1 unit, 2 units, 3 units. But if you say parlay, say you won 30, that all 30 goes right on top of that bet again.
Yeah, one of the things I've noticed too is when you're playing craps and you start acting in a certain way, they get to know what you're going to do, because after a while I'll press the 6 and the 8 one unit every time we
and
talk
they'll
about
start
this.
Doing that
they'll
without
just
even
do it automatically
yeah they'll
and pitch you the money
and throw you your
yeah.
change
yeah 100%
that's
yeah.
fun
yeah it is fun once they get to know you, which is really scary because degenerates, you know, that means you're there too long, but that's okay,
right?
So you get into a rhythm, and I've seen you with dealers that are there, like you're kind of dropping, depending on where you're standing, right? You're dropping here, you're throwing over, and they're already waiting for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful sight to see, Pete. Like, I've only played not that much, and you know, you're more experienced than I am. You got to watch him. So, talk us through some of like those bets and why you would create the fun. And you just said parlay, and I hear yo, and I hear
sure, sure. So the middle of the board has all the prop bets, all Pete's favorite bets are right. in the middle yep. of the board.
Yep. The sucker so bets.
The sucker bets, there are a lot of one roll bets. Yeah. So you can bet on any field dice bets. Combination field bets. There's yeah. hop bets. A hop bet is basically a bet on any dice combination, and they pay 15 to 1. So you'll hear guys say, hop the 5-4. You know, so they want a 9 coming up. So they're putting a $5 bet down on a one roll. The next roll has to be a 5-4 or they lose that $5 bet.
Okay.
So I like to bet the 6-5 a lot. They call it the yo.
The yo 11.
Why they call it the yo is just because 11 sounds like 7. So I just give me a $5 yo, fire him a chip, and yeah.
but
it just grabs it. And,
but yeah. when you're in the casino, it sounds like, yo!
A little louder.
Yeah.
So, I tried to move it away there, Sal.
So I like to bet the hard ways, right? And that's fun. And
you, it is fun.
And the one thing you can do is you can bet with the dealers. Like, you, if you want to tip them, you can tip them in the form of a bet. So you can say, pitch them a $10 chip and say, I want a two-way $5 hard eight. And if eight's the point, everybody's rooting for the eight. It's kind of fun.
It
right?
is.
Like, yeah. craps is such a social game. It's so much fun when the dice are rolling for 44 or 50 times. I wish yeah. you would have said 43, but that's fine. It's fun. It's a fun game, and it's a social game, and you know, there's little tricks that you, and lots of people are superstitious. I think one of the reasons why you probably keep your hands to the side and are is you never want to interrupt the roller, the shooter, when they're in the process of their rolling. It's kind of like a pitcher in his pitching process.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. If you're not laying bets or putting your money out, hands are on the rail.
Yeah. You don't want to get
back.
Right. Like, that's a very superstitious thing. Right.
right?
Yeah. If you get involved, like I won't, I don't know about you, but I won't enter a craps table when there's a point established already. I feel like that's,
is that the etiquette?
I think that's an etiquette.
It sort of is. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I mean, I'm in it to win some money. So if I see someone's on a tear, they're rolling 30, 40 rolls, I might want to quick get in on that six.
I was just going to say, would you just throw 100 on six
yeah,
or eight or
yep,
90?
Yep.
We'd probably throw, right?
Yeah.
90 on six, 90 on eight, or 60.
Yeah. I mean,
30,
if you
60,
see, if
I just feel like craps is such a superstitious game. Like you said, Dietrich, it is, you establish your dice, you throw your dice hard, you throw your dice soft, you know, I don't want those two die. I'm not going to pick up a die with a combination of seven. I'm not going to pick those two up. You know,
right,
it's just,
right.
It's just, it's so superstitious, and it's so intimidating as a beginner to step up there and think like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? I know what I want to do, but when is the right time to do it?
Yeah.
The one thing I like about craps tables, too, is it seems like, and I don't know if I'm wrong, but the servers come around more for cocktails. Right? Because well, there's a concentration of people. And so you can order a cocktail at the craps table, play some craps. She comes back, he or she, and they got a cocktail for you, mostly she in Vegas. And flip them a chip, and you get your cocktail.
And the great thing is there's a little bar right underneath.
Yep, yep.
It's just a little, nobody has to know how many you've had.
Yeah.
If you drink it or not, doesn't matter, right?
And what would your drink of choice be if you're having a cocktail?
Well, I was just going to add, we asked Dieter that same question, but I think you've had some Stoli in your day.
They have all the flavors.
You've listened to our podcast. You know that one of our new sponsors, right? So yeah. We're going to probably be having some Stoli.
Stoli vanilla with a little bit of root beer, guys.
Root
to dive
beer. Ooh, interesting.
That sounds tasty.
It yeah, that's better good. Than your Coke or Diet Coke suggestion. I think root beer would be fantastic. Yes. A little root beer float with a little kick to it.
Add the sweet tooth in it.
A kick to it. Where does Stoli, I said, where does Latvia hail
yeah,
from?
There you go.
Where does Stoli hail from, David?
Yeah. We talked about it last time. They every single little barrel they take care of. It's a top end liquor. We were talking about top end vodka on the way here, right? So next time you're in Cub Liquor Store or local liquor store, look for that tall, skinny bottle right there with that nice reddish kind of got some gold to it, right? Stoli, we love that you're a sponsor of ours. Thank you. And we'll be looking for you in Vegas.
Yes. The cucumber. What was the one they had? They had cucumber and then they had a salted caramel Stoli vodka.
Maybe that with your root beer.
Ooh, that sounds good too.
That with root beer would be very good.
I think none of us should say, can I have a salted caramel Stoli with cream?
Yeah. That's a conversation for you and your server to say, hey, I'll take a hard one. She knows exactly what it is.
I love it.
There's a lot of jokes there that we don't want. I mean, we're R-rated. We don't want to be X-rated.
The thing about craps is it's tough to, where do you start? Where do you begin? Right? You're doing an awesome job. And all of my memories with gambling. So you do some hard ways or not?
I like to do hard ways occasionally, and depends on how the roll is going, or two, if I'm playing the dark side, the opposite. Sometimes I like to throw a hard way bet to hedge against a loss.
That's a good point.
I like that. So
on the point.
Talk about that one, and then we're going to get to dark side here.
So let's do this.
Yeah,
so we're going to transition from beginner's craps to intermediate craps, right? Because there's a lot. So don't get intimidated if you're a beginning craps player. Just listen, because there are a lot of ways to bet in craps. And like we said, betting the pass line is a great beginning piece of craps. You go up, you bet the pass line, you see the flow of the game. You might get the dice in your hand. And if you're a beginner, people love beginning craps or dice throwers because you tend to roll for a while. At least that's been my experience. The virgins tend to do a pretty good job. So I guess now let's talk about some more advanced betting, because there's some things you can do. Dark side we talked about. Let's explain what that is. Let's talk about establishing another point on top of the point that's already been established on the come out, because you can bet, or on the pass line, you can bet another come out roll. So I don't know where you want to start, David, but there's...
What's the easiest you think?
Let's go to the dark side. Let's say now we're going to the don't pass, don't come side. So you're going to start with the don't come. Now, the difference there is instead of putting your chips behind your bet, you have to put them to the side when you're playing the dark side.
Still in that line.
Not in a line. No, to the left of your chips.
Got it.
So I'm here. The stick man is to my right. You always put your stack, your back bet, away from the stick man. So toward the chip guy. Whatever they're called, cashiers. I'm not sure on the exact terminology.
Yeah, I'm not either, yeah.
So stick guy is a stick guy.
Yeah, so...
Chip guy is a chip guy. Let's go with it.
Yeah, you're doing the don't pass for 25, and now a six comes up, so you want to go max odds, or if you just want to go one time, one times odds, you put 30 up, and you'd have to put that stack to the left of your bet on the don't pass line.
So in that case, one, you're betting against the shooter, right?
Yes.
So whereas if you're betting the pass line and someone's coming out on their first roll and they roll a seven, the pass line wins.
Right.
The don't pass line, you lose.
You lose on that come out roll if it's a seven.
Because you're betting that they're going to establish a point before they're going to roll a seven.
Right.
Right. And then once they roll something other than a seven, you don't want them to roll that point again if you're betting
exactly. Now you want the seven to come up.
Right. So you want them to roll a seven after they've come out with a point.
With a number, yep.
And this, I'm assuming, pays the exact opposite odds
exactly.
as the come line.
So you are actually betting more to win less.
More to win less.
On the don't come lines.
Because, for our listeners, number seven is so much easier to hit, mathematically, percentage-wise, right?
Six combinations
six
for the
seven. Six combinations for the seven.
Five for the six and eight, thus the 6-5 odds.
Yeah. Either way. So it's paying 5-6.
5-6. So on 30 would pay 25.
Dieter, if you put 25, if you were novice and said, I'm going to go play the dark side, and you put 25, six pops up, and you put 25 to the left, are they going to say, hey, sir, ma'am, extra five?
Yeah, they will tell you.
Yeah. They don't want to do the math.
So I think that's good for our listeners, because I think the math part for me, you just explained it really quick. Like, there's six combinations for like that. So
that's where the numbers come from. Yeah, you wonder why is it 6 to 5? It's it's the combinations of the dice.
Well, there what's interesting is you bring up a really good point. Is what I do sometimes when I'm betting and I haven't thought about the numbers too hard, or I don't want to think about them because I'm having a good time. Right. I put money down and I look at the stick man and I go, "Is that okay?" And they're like, "No, give me another 5." Yes. Right? Like they'll always tell you,
trying to make the math work.
Yeah, they want to make the math work, so they just have to pull the least amount of chips when you win.
Yes.
Yeah. And they want you to win, by the way. That's the one thing people don't understand. You're not necessarily playing against the folks who are helping you around the table. You're playing against the house. And the more you win, the more you're going to tip them. They want you to win. So they want to help you. They really do. Those folks are there to help you figure out what the best bets you can make are. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And getting back to your tip betting, too, I like to ask them if I'm going to throw them a tip bet, what do you want to bet this on anything? And they'll bet it the way they want. Or they'll say, put it on the pass line or put it on the don't pass line.
That's a good idea.
Dieter, as I said on the way, he's a very generous tipper when it comes to craps, because I think it's a fun thing. It's a community thing. You want everybody to be having fun, I presume, right?
Well, that, and there's 4 people working that table.
Good
call.
The stick
man, you got 2 cashiers, and you got the pit boss, whatever they're called, that runs the whole show. So there's 4 people. It's not just one that you're tipping.
Yeah,
good call.
Yeah, they're pulling tips. So, Sal, quick question for you. You said that you're a little bit intimidated by the craps game. You haven't played a lot of craps. What do you think about when you walk up to a craps table? Like, what intimidates you about a craps table? Because maybe we can help with that.
Well, no, I think it's just the inexperience of it. I mean, like you said, I mean, you have guys that are experienced and very experienced like you guys. And then, I mean, I know some of the lingo and some of the tech or some of the bets and stuff. I guess just knowing when and when not to do it is probably the most intimidating thing.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing that I want to get through is...
But it's gravitating. I mean, like you said, everybody is having fun at that table, and they're screaming, and they're hooting and hollering. And you never just see 11 people playing around a table. You always see 20.
Or 0.
10 people. Or 0. You know, 10 people watching.
One of my favorite things to do on a craps table, and it's not even the betting piece, it's on a busy Friday night, Saturday night, you're standing around a craps table, and there's probably 20 people there because there's 11 players, and then there's probably spouses and friends and whatever. Is I like to give nicknames to everybody around the table. That's
in your head,
in my head, or with a buddy. Like for instance, I've used
Dieter. This is good to know. If we were going to pick if all 4 are playing or 2. Okay.
So for instance, I've used the nickname Tits McGee.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can imagine what Tits McGee looked like, right? Like, she was, a very striking woman who had some very nice features to her. So I like to name people because it's fun, right? Like, hey, there goes Red because the guy's got a red shirt on. Or Oklahoma goes, right, because he's got an Oklahoma cap. And it's just fun because you get your buddies and you're laughing and you're joking about people. And it's not degrading. It's just fun to name people and come up with creative nicknames, and that's fun with craps. It just is, right? So,
well, we'll designate you the guy that gives out the nicknames throughout the next 4 days in Vegas.
I wonder
what
nickname you're going
to
be.
Yeah, exactly. So you had mentioned something about let's go back to pass line. And sorry if we're bouncing around
but all right.
Pass line. You're backing it up on odds. That 6 is there. Do you put other bets beyond the prop bets in the middle? Like, we hear the cum bets, field bets. Can you talk a little bit about
that? Sure. So if you want to do a cum bet, is a lot like a pass line bet. So there's a box that says cum. So if you want a cum bet after a rule is established, you can put a $25 chip on the cum line. And then the next roll that comes, that chip goes to that number on the board. And then you can take odds on that bet.
So on that, so if you, quite frankly, if you're walking up to a table and a point's already established, you could put a $25 chip on the cum line and you're playing it just like you would the pass line.
Absolutely.
You just can't bet the pass line because there's already, that's closed down because the point's already established.
Yes,
correct.
True. Yeah.
Do you win on the cum line if it hits the point?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
or that number.
That, it has to hit that number, the next number that it goes to.
Let's say it moves to a 10.
I step up to the table and I put $25 on the cum line. 6 is the point and 6 comes up.
No, you do not win that come line bet. It, now, if a 7 came up, you would win that come line bet because it didn't go to a number yet.
Right.
So,
but then that establishes your point actually as a 6. Everyone else won on the pass line. Your come bet then is placed on the 6.
For the next roll.
You got to hope for another 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then not necessarily the next roll because the next roll is going to be a come out roll.
Sure.
So another point has to be established. Then you can put odds on that 6.
Sure. Okay.
But you still get paid, right? If you walk up and you put, okay, so 6 is the point, and that's the pass line point. And then you walk up and you throw a quarter, $25 on the 6 on the come or on the come line, and he rolls the 6, okay? Mm-hmm. They take your $25 come bet and they put it on the 6 then, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then if the shooter rolls another 6 as his come out bet, you get paid. But you can't put odds on that.
Yeah, you're one roll away from odds because the point just came
point
in.
Point needs to be established.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you're still getting paid. You're probably getting paid
$25.
$25,
yeah,
one to one. One to one on that. Yeah. But you're not allowed to put odds on it. You would if it was a different, if they don't hit their point on that. Wow,
true.
This is getting complicated. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Would you rather put place bets? Or when do you decide to do place bets versus come bets?
Sometimes you can do, I like to start out with place bets. And if you're not the shooter, if you're not rolling the dice, you don't have to put a pass line or do not pass line bet up. You can just place bets.
So you just 6 and 8?
I'll just start, maybe I like to do five, six, eight, nine.
So then you're putting in 110.
Right.
Right?
And you can just
say. So you
got
25, 30, 30, 25.
Yeah. Right, and you need the 30 on the 6-8 because it pays 6 to 5.
So I think
the
this
math
is
works better.
Exactly, and if you again, if you were to put make a mistake and put 25, they're going to
they'd tell say,
you,
give me five more.
Right. Sometimes when they're paying you on that 4, I think on a 4, if you get 25 and a 4 hits, they say give me 2.
Actually, I made a mistake on the place bets. The 6 and 8 pay 7 to 6. That's why it has to be in multiples of 6.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So the place bets are a little different odds. It's 7 to 6 on the 6-8, 7 to 5 on the 5-9, and 9 to 5 on the 4 and 10. So it's
Would a person ever establish or put pass line, do all the place bets and come bets?
Sure. I've seen that.
It's just a heavy in.
You want a lot of action.
Yep.
You want action all day long.
You want to get paid on both.
Because for the record, for those of you that are listening, like for me, I usually, if I'm playing the pass line, I'll pass line. And then I'll just lay out all up 4 or 5, whatever number's not hit, of course, right? So I have, what, about 125 out there, and depending on the odds.
So you'll place bets on all the numbers.
Yep. Whereas, yeah. Dieter, you're going in doing 6 and 8 a lot.
That's what I'm doing.
Maybe
too.
5 and 9, yep. Right? The TJ, the buddy we're going to be with, he loves come bets.
Right.
So he loves doing pass line and then come bets, right? And then occasionally we do this yo thing and hard ways and stuff like that.
The thing with come bets is that you've got a lot of money on the table.
And it never stops. It's like a cycle.
And you have to hit repeaters for that to pay.
Yeah.
You know, you have to hit, if it's a 6, the 6 needs to come again.
But I've heard from you, I can hit 6s and 8s all night.
All day, David.
So, okay, so with that question, with that statement, on the table, what does big 6, big 8 mean?
I stay away from that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the payout isn't as good, so it's just there for looks. Don't bet them.
Okay. Sucker bets.
Yeah. Stay with your place bets on the 6-8s, and then, or if you just want to do the don't come, and or the come and the pass line.
I've always been told that the field, if you bet the field, it's kind of a sucker bet, too. I don't like the field bet, but
I think the whole game is a sucker bet.
Yeah. Except for backing up on odds.
But we are the gambling.
We are the gambling
guys.
You just explained gambling, and entire gambling is a sucker bet. But
we asked you, and I think you said 48 to 50 rolls yourself. Do you you obviously remember that night? Do you want to share where you were?
I was at.
And what was going on?
Where was I that night? I've had a good roll at Link. That was one of them by myself. And I've also had a good roll at Planet Hollywood. And the other big one was with you, David.
With us, yeah.
At Golden
Nugget. And that's fun when there's 4. Have you ever hit the all small, all tall?
I never have, but I've bet it when it's been hit twice.
Okay. You want to just tell people real quick about that one?
So there's a new prop bet, Pete, that you're going to like. It's called Make 'em All, where you have to hit all the numbers.
Okay, yeah.
There's all tall, all small. So the all tall, all small pay 34 to 1 if you hit the 2 through 6 before the 7. All tall would be 8 through 12.
Oh, interesting.
And then if you make them all, It's one. It started out at 174-1. Now it's, I think it's down to 151-1. But you can just put a fiver on all three and just to be in the action. And if someone gets on a roll and rolls all the numbers, 151 times five is.
I got to imagine in your 50 roll.
Can you play that without playing the pass line?
That's a good question, Sal. I think you have to play the pass line to have that bet up. Now, any seven that comes up, you lose those numbers. So if the first roll when you put that up is a seven, you got to put five more
up
on each.
We were so close. I think you had like the three
I think I was
and
missing
the 11
three.
Or something.
I think it was down to one.
Do you think we hit the all talls?
Yeah, we hit one of them.
One of them. Okay. So our $5 bet paid off of one off of 37 or something, like, right? Yeah,
34-1.
34, so 150 bucks or whatever it was. Yeah. But
then we were all close. On it, all four of us. So it was fun.
Okay. Yeah.
That night was fun, yeah.
Wow. This is going pretty long, so we're going to have to continue this because I think we're going to have an advanced craps discussion as well. I don't know if you've seen this, Dieter, but I took a video when David and I were at Mystic last time. And I don't know if you've seen these new video tables with, it looks like a craps table, but there's individual video monitors around it where you can make your bets. The one thing that we didn't talk about was people don't like others playing the dark side. They don't like being bet against, right? And
true. But that's not true, right? That's just so everything I've read, since we've been talking about the dark side, I've been doing some little bit of research, and dealers will tell you it's not betting against the other players. It's you're just betting with the casino.
Right.
Right?
There's something to that, Sal. What's great about the dark side is when that seven comes up and 99% of the people lose their chips off the table and then he pays you out for all your wins. That's quite the rush when you're getting chips back and everyone else is losing chips.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun. I mean, you don't want to cheer. Everyone's losing their money. But at the same time, I just won because I was playing the dark side. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And they sweep all
that
money
your preference?
Under yours.
I actually do like it. I've been on a table where it'll go around the table once and you'll see three numbers seven, four numbers seven, two numbers seven. It just goes in a bad streak like that, and if you're playing the dark side, you're making some money.
I think we talked about we're obviously going to plan on the plane, and plans change too when we're in Vegas. But what we were thinking is when it's the four of us, we'd have two guys if we decide to go the dark side, right? And if we're all thinking, hey, we want a chance to roll 41 times in a row or all tall, right? We might all play, and some of us do place bets and some do come bets.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
And we've talked about this before. We'll be pooling the four of us when we sit down either way to do that, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's funny you say that, it's aren't all bets sucker bets. It's kind of true. Like, we're all kind of dent heads, right? Like, speaking of dent heads.
Yeah, you're pretty good, prop bet. He's good.
Our boy Sean Moss started dent heads way back in, I think, 2007, if I'm not mistaken. They're down in Bloomington by the airport. They're a sponsor of ours. If you've got a ding, you've got hail damage, you've got a small dent in your car, Sean and his folks will take care of you. They have over 400 five-star Google ratings, which is pretty hard to get. So they're happy to take care of you. Go out to deadheads.com, make an appointment. They'll take you over to the Mall of America. You can buy something nice for yourself or for someone that you love. And we thank them for their sponsorship, deadheads.com.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Dieter, thank you for being here. So what kind of fun craps, preferably, if you got a fun crap story that you want to tell our listeners here?
50 rolls in a row is a pretty good story.
Yeah, that's a pretty fun day.
I did watch a gentleman cash out over $50,000 about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he went on a roll for well over an hour. But the beauty of this guy with his roll is he would set his dice. I was telling David this earlier. And then he would step back from the table about two steps, take a big deep breath like he was shooting a free throw. Then he would step up and he would throw them really high above everyone's head. They would land soft and the guy rolled, I think it was an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
But he had a $50 bet up on the all tall, all small and make them all.
Yeah.
So he won about 20,000. He had all the numbers. So that cashed for him and I had a $5 up, so I made whatever, $1,000. But
yeah,
he walked away. We waited after his roll. He cashed out, and it was about 52,000.
How cool is that?
That was really cool to watch. Yeah. And to be a part of it. It was so much fun.
So it wasn't that he was a huge high roller. He just went on a run that never seen before.
Yeah, that's the longest roll I've seen.
Wow, that's crazy. That's unbelievable.
Until tomorrow at the Bellagio.
Until tomorrow at the Bellagio.
There's four gambling guys that have got here.
So I want to keep going on this craps, but I know we're getting long. Hey, Chris, what? Sal, that's the first time I've called him.
Who?
Sal.
He's talking about the new guy.
What? Can you bring up the Masters odds real quick? Because we're all going to be placing Masters bets.
Yeah.
And I sent a little text out to this group earlier this week just to get everybody thinking about if you had five $100 bets. So if you were to place $500 on the Masters, what five golfers would you bet on? And we all came up kind of with different players. I mean, I was surprised at how different we all were. I mean, everybody kind of had Scheffler in their mix because that's kind of even money, right? But then it really varied. So, Sal, I know you love Freddie Couples, so, you know.
I like Freddie Couples to make the cut. let's clarify that one more time.
I like that bet too, Sal.
Yeah.
Oh, Sal, we're just ribbing you a little bit. We talked about it on the pre-production meeting. We were laughing. I said, watch me bring up Freddie Couples, and Sal's going to go into us. I like Freddie Couples to make the cut.
So you know what? We're going to have to get up fairly early Thursday morning to watch the honorary tee shot in a sports book in Bellagio.
Depends on who's on the tee shot this year. Who's left that's going to be an honorary?
It's Gary. It's Jack.
Jack's going to be there?
I think so. I think it's when you're looking to, Sal, if you can pull that, I'm pretty sure the honorary starters are Gary, Jack, and Tom Watson.
With Tom Watson, yep.
Yep. From last year.
Tom Watson, who a couple years ago actually made a run.
All right, I got the list here.
Yep.
All right. All right. So if I'm picking five, I'm going to go, and I'll try to do this quickly because I know we're running out of time. Scheffler, Brooks, I might do Rory, but that's your pick. I would probably maybe go after Xander. I would go for Henley because he's been playing very well.
God, you're in love with that guy.
Yeah.
And Wyndham Clark.
What about the guy
so
that just
Scheffler,
laid the slot?
Plus 400. You bet $10, win 50. Ooh. Brooks, plus 1,800. Bet $10, win 190.
Yeah.
Who else did you say?
Xander Schauffele.
Xander Schauffele, plus 2,000, bet 10, win 210.
Okay. What's Henley?
And
Wyndham Clark.
Oh.
Wyndham Clark and Henley. Yep.
Henley. On that list.
I know. I was going to say you have to scroll down, but that's
a friend prop
bet, Pete. Plus
Henley, Russell Henley.
My words, my friend.
Plus 10,000, bet 10, win 1,010
bucks. Yep. And then what was Wyndham Clark going off at?
Wyndham Clark is plus 3,000. Bet 10, win 310.
So the only person I'm in with you so far is Xander.
Okay. Who
I
else
like Xander. I like Victor.
Victor like Hovland.
Tony Finau.
I love Tony Finau.
He's I going like Rory.
High. Rory.
And then I wish I could pick like Oosthuizen or somebody like that, but I'm not going to do it.
You always got to go down. You got to go down like at least halfway and give yourself a chance in case, because it happens. I mean, that's what happened with
Will Zalatoris.
Oh, okay. That's all right. So Victor Hovland, plus 2,500. So bet 10, 260.
Yep.
Will Zalatoris, plus 3,500, 10, 360.
Yep.
Tony Finau plus 4,000, bet 10, 410.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing great.
Who else did you say?
You said Rory and Xander.
Rory is plus 1,000, so bet 10, win.
I can't believe Rory's that low of odds right now.
He's been playing great if you look at his finishes. Though of those nine, because we had one shared.
Yep.
Are you picking any of those nine, and what are your other?
I am going $490 on Koepka because he's got a hot wife.
I hate his wife.
And I'm going $10 on Wyndham Clark.
Yeah. Koepka.
You're going all in on Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, he was so close last year and just he lost it.
How much on Freddie Couples? No, I'm just kidding.
But I actually do like Wyndham Clark.
TJ likes Joaquin Niemann, who's playing well. I
So Sal,
it's more of an emotional non-bet for me.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
If you know what I mean.
You and I bet Neiman a few years ago.
Yeah,
and he didn't play. He didn't come in for us. Sal, who you get? Who do you like?
Well, I like Finau. I like Morikawa.
Okay.
I always go down towards the better. I'll take Ricky because it can happen.
Yep.
That's I like that.
Who else?
And then I'll go. You know, go down and find some. I mean, you know. You go down towards the bottom, and it's, you know, you got some good players that could potentially win. You have Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson's 18,000.
He's a past winner.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cameron Davis, 15,000.
Cam Davis. Okay.
Cam Young.
Keegan Bradley, 15,000. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the field's great. I like the new kid that just won this last weekend.
One that threw out his shoulder
Batia?
With the fist pump Batia. On 18 to
yeah, so
Bahita?
Batia.
Batia.
Yep. So I read Mojito. Yeah. Mojito's, yeah, he won last weekend. So I read this stat that since 1979, there's only been three first-timers win the Masters. Three people who are playing it for the first time.
I will take the 500 that I just won from you, give you... 5-1 odds.
Yeah.
That one of those three are not going to win.
We should find the AMs and bet the make a bet for the highest finishing AM.
Oh.
You pick a name.
It'd be just like a
that's
crap just, shoot.
That's basically pulling totally a name out of a hat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dieter, if you're looking around the studio here, we got some awesome sponsors and one that we got to shout out. There's some boxers over there. They're from Chill Boys. So Chill Boys, as we know, we've been hearing a lot about them. Life-changing underwear. Pick yourself up a pair before we go. You're going to need an extra pair in Vegas. So I know you've been listening to us, but they have three different kinds of boxers. They've got the bamboo boxers. They got the bamboo boxer brief, and they have the performance boxers. And we've been talking about this, all three of us. Have you tried any yet?
I have not, no.
We'll grab you a pair as we go out here. They're an awesome sponsor
they're
of
fantastic.
Ours, and they have fantastic underwear. And I'm bringing that Chill Boys hoodie to Vegas. So get ready for that. No white pants, but Chill Boys got some other great
things.
Oh,
you have to take the white pants.
Boxers.
doesn't he?
I mean, he has to.
Yeah, 100%. The whitey tighties, 100%. You got to wear those pants.
So it looks like you're going to be handing out some lottery. Can I ask Dieter one more question, though?
You can.
So as you've got to come back because we're going to try to figure out how we did and come back for craps. We love that you're here. As you're coming into this, was there a story or something you wanted to make sure our listeners heard about craps and or about Dieter?
No, craps, we could talk about it for another hour. Maybe we need to break it down to more beginner more. It's just tough to get it all in. And it's confusing when you, but.
See, it's intimidating.
It is. But everyone started there, Sal.
Yeah.
I mean, we all started initially intimidated until you get in there and get it going.
Yeah, it took me a lot of cocktails to walk up to a craft
table. Real quick, Dieter, I have one question for you. Do you ever go off the strip and play craps?
I actually love going downtown. So
on the Front Street.
You like the D, don't you?
I like the Nugget, and I love Circa, best sports book in Vegas.
Circa's fantastic. Oh. That long bar is awesome.
Yeah.
To play craps, though, or do you like other places to play craps?
To Vegas with a guy from Pennsylvania, and he was kind of a big deal. I won't mention his name. But he would go off the strip and play, and he said the odds are better.
I think you're right. I think I've heard that there's a couple YouTube videos out. There's one gentleman played at El Cortez, and I think they do 10 times odds on all numbers.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. So, and you're
that's one of the fun things about Vegas, and especially about craps, is finding craps tables in the corners of different casinos that are so much fun to play. And you see, and trust me, naming nicknames, you're going to be into it now. So there you go. Yeah. Anyway, we should probably wrap this. Dieter, awesome time. So glad we got to talk about craps. We have a lot more to talk about when it comes to craps, so we'd love to have you back to really just chat through it. I think we should probably, David, at some point put out some of those videos or at least some pictorials of craps tables and what we were talking about with pass line, because I think it'll make a lot more sense to
people. Yeah, we're bringing a mic. We're bringing a camera with the stabilizer, and I asked Dieter, and we'll probably mic him up and watch a little bit of craps, and maybe we can then come back and talk about it. What if we catch that lightning in the bottle, like a 52-roll deal?
So much fun.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
On mic.
And we have some scratch-offs to do, boys, as customary for the gambling guys. We have scratch-offs. I'm holding them up, four of them to do after we're done with this podcast. So let's wrap this up and get and win, what's it, $200,000 in scratch-offs.
13 hours we'll be on a plane. Dieter, can't thank you enough.
Thanks, yeah, guys.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
A lot. Been a blast.
Thanks for being here and appreciate all the information. It's been fantastic. Thank
Thanks
you.
To our listeners. Reach out to us on social media. As Pete said, there's going to be some videos over the next 4 days on Instagram and YouTube Shorts. So watch out. Spencer, Sal, we can't do it without you. Thank you.